one of the most amazing things, and probably one of the greatest things, that we have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that the great variety of the unique perspective of each Gospel writer that is very evident when you take the opportunity to compare all the versions of the same event in the life of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. They kind of tell the same story in three different ways. But John, of course, tells the story of the ministry. He kind of gets on with this. He doesn't take much time on people being born and people dying. He just gets with all the things the Lord's doing. But here in Matthew's Gospel today, we look at one of the accounts of feeding the 5,000. It's important for us to pay attention today to the wonderful slant that Matthew gives this account. True to Matthew's emphasis on the life of the church, his account of the feeding miracle encourages us to look not only at our ministry, but look at the ministry of Jesus. Look at the ministry of Jesus, but look at the ministry that you and I share as part of the body of Christ. You see, following the death of John the Baptist, Jesus continues to minister to the great crowds that come, that are coming seeking, they're coming looking for help, they're coming after something, they're hungry. And we are reminded that he had compassion for them and he cured their sick that we've just read in Matthew 14:14. It has apparently been a long and exhausting day. They've been running around doing things and everybody's tired. And when night begins to fall, Jesus' disciples come to him and make a suggestion. In verse 15, send these people home, Lord. Send the crowd away so that they may go to their own villages and buy food for themselves. The disciples seem to be very practical here because this is a practical issue. But guess what? The people need to eat, they say. And they're out here in the middle of nowhere. Yet here is where the story begins to get a little bit interesting. Here's where we would probably send people home. Here's where we would wait a while. But Jesus says to his disciples, they need not go away. You give them something to eat, he tells them in verse 16. You do it. You disciples, you people, you followers, get out there and do something. I can almost see the look of confusion and concern on the faces of his friends, those disciples that day. The people are hungry, but there is no way the disciples can feed such a large crowd. They barely have enough food for themselves. Verse 17 says they kind of protest. They say, Lord, we have nothing here but five loaves and two fish. And Jesus says, bring them here. Bring what you have here. And he encourages the crowd to sit down. You see, the rest of the story is familiar to us. Jesus takes the five loaves and the two fish. He blesses them. He breaks them. And it provides for all the people there the abundance. 5,000 men plus all the women and children. Wow. Matthew tells us that following that miracle, Jesus gave the disciples. He gave that food to them and he says, go. You go. You take it out and feed the crowd. You take it out to the people. You take it out to the masses. You go feed the people. All in the crowd were fed, and there was a huge amount of stuff left over. Even after over 5,000 people had eaten, and most likely it was probably a little over 10,000 people that day because you got to count all the women and children that were there. Jesus had once again provided for the people in their time of great need. First today, the most striking thing to me about this story is the role of the disciples. You and I tend to focus sometimes on the story solely as a miracle of Jesus. Wow, look at that miracle that Jesus performed. But I think it has many things to say to you and I about the role of the disciples and the call of the church. First of all, notice that Jesus initially tries to get the disciples to take part in meeting the needs of the people. He wants them to be a part of it. The first reaction of the disciples is to send them away because, you know, Lord, we don't have time, we don't have the money, we don't have the food. But Jesus tells them in no uncertain terms that this is their job. This is something you've got to do to help feed those who are hungry. As Jesus had compassion on those who have gathered there, so he called his followers to have compassion on the people that they encounter in a time of need. He tells you and I to have compassion on those that we encounter throughout our life, each and every day. And we find people in their need, and we are to have compassion on them. You see, the disciples' attitude is one that we sometimes can resemble ourselves. We can look in the mirror, we can kind of see ourselves there. And it kind of resembles the life of the church sometimes, unfortunately. We are tired and we are overwhelmed. And sometimes we want to pass the buck to someone else. Surely we will say to ourselves, there's some kind of government program out there, isn't there, to assist the hungry. Maybe if people ask their families for help, then they could get fed. Why don't they just get a job and quit begging? I hear that quite often. Yet Jesus says to the church, He says to you and me today, it's not someone else's problem to fix. The body of Christ, which is you and me, are called to help those who are hungry. Jesus says to us, don't send them away. Don't send them away. I had somebody come to my door yesterday to tell me, thank you for not sending him away some months back. He came to tell me thank you for and to thank this church to let us me know that he had a place to live and he had a job and that things were going well. He said, I've come by to say thank you for what you all have done. You see, this story today has a second thing that we need to know. It demonstrates a common fallacy in our thinking about ministry. The main point of the disciples' resistance is that they don't have the physical resources to fill the crowd. We don't have enough money. They weren't necessarily being cold-hearted that day in their refusal to feed the crowds, but they just didn't see how it was possible with the resources they had. But Jesus reminds the disciples to bring their loaves and fishes to Jesus, that the miracle will take place. I think about that a lot. We pull our resources together, we pull the things we have, and we come together. We come together to feed each other, to feed those around us. Think about sometimes on Wednesday night when we have family night. Many times there's enough food to feed people again and again. Once in a while we clean it out, but not much. We have an abundance because we bring it together to feed. But you know, we need to be doing more than just feeding ourselves. We need to be bringing people in who can't bring anything, who have come because they are hungry. Maybe not always for food, but hungry for living water. How many times in the life of the church do you and I look around and all we see is the scarcity? We see what we don't have. We see who's not here. We see what's not happening. We look at our meager resources and we think, we don't even have enough here for ourselves, much less anyone else. I sure can't help nobody else. You see, it is so tempting to hold on to ourselves and to hold our hands not open, but to hold them shut and to keep. It is easy to fall into the trap of thinking that all we offer and all that you and I have to offer is dependent upon what we ourselves can produce. And you know, it's not just us, it's everybody. We can call in our resources. We can call in to help in a time of need. And Jesus says to you and I today, no matter how meager our resources are, bring them to me. If we do it in the name of the Lord, bring them to me. It is only when we offer all that we have to the Master, that we can break it and bless it. What we have might not be sufficient, but what Jesus takes and what we offer and produces a bountiful meal. He takes what we have to offer. We just give it to Him and say, Lord, bless it. Make it go further than it does. Make it go a little bit further. I'm reminded of a story that I've heard most of my life. When I was about 5 years old, and my older sister Joan was 7, and my little sister was not quite 2, our father got hurt at work. And he was incapacitated for a very long time. He could have easily been killed, but he wasn't. He was ran over by a tractor and a disc. And the big tires ran over his pelvis and pulled things apart and cut him up pretty bad. He was in the hospital for some time. And he came home, he was on a hospital bed for a long time. And our family was, he was our breadwinner. Our mom stayed home and took care of us and helped people do things in the neighborhood and on the farm. But I remember people coming and doing things, but I was a kid. And I just knew that we always had something to eat. We always had something there. But years later, I heard a story. And today, when you see this lady named Oretta Honeycutt who passed away, she was 94 years old. That lady took from her own freezer and from her own shelves and would leave things on our doorstep, leave things in our car at church on Sunday morning so that we would have something to eat. As a kid, you don't know that the cupboards are bare because your parents don't tell you those things. But the church, the people we loved, the people that knew us, the people that cared for us, didn't want any praise. They would hand you a piece of money in their hand, give you one of those handshakes to my mom. They would also put things in our car. So I know what it's like when the Lord says, take what you have. It might not be much. You might not get to, but guess what? What you do can make a difference in all the world. It can make a difference to that family. You know, my dad eventually got well, and he eventually went back to work. But where he worked at the time, he worked his whole life, was with the state of North Carolina. He worked for the DOT. And he had, at that time in his life, you got paid once a month. And for all the weeks that he had been away and for the months that he was sick, he had been separated, as they say, from that department. So you had to work a whole month and build up, and then you had to work to another month before you got paid. So he had to work 2 months before he got a check after he went back to work. Those are times when family and friends and community come in. There's times when people say, we need to do something. And today, in the job and that I have, the calling that God has put upon my life allows me the benefit of being able to represent you many times and myself and say, we can help you. We can do something. We can take food. I'll give you this. We can give you a little money. We can help you out. Until things get better. Until things get better. You see, finally today in this story, it reminds us that Jesus wants to help. He wants us to help do God's work in the world. That's exactly what Miss Oretta did. Did you notice at the end of this story today, after Jesus had broken the bread and He blessed it, He gave it to His disciples, and Jesus didn't distribute the food. He sat back. He stood back. And He let His disciples, He let His followers, those people that were His disciples, be His hands and feet, just as you and I are. The disciples were that integral part in this ministry, of this miraculous feeding that day. They trusted Jesus to provide for the crowd, even though they doubted once in a while. And they got to share in the blessings that Jesus provided with all who were seated in the grass that day. You see, you and I are the church, and we are still called to be the hands and feet of Christ. The story, this story is an important story. And it is an important reminder to you and me that we have received grace upon grace upon grace. We have received it from our Master's hand. May you and I today respond to the need of others with compassionate hearts, offering all that we have to Jesus that He might bless it. That He might bless it for you and I to share with this world around us. May you go take care of the things around you, not only this day, but every day. Let us pray.